Hello and welcome. We're here tonight to talk about corporate liability and what it means to be able to have the corporate veil pierced, meaning limited liability will go away under certain circumstances, principally fraud. We're going to talk about things like insider trading tonight, which is when you use your fiduciary duty to benefit yourself by trading with the insider information. Last time we wrapped up our corporate governance series of lectures, we talked about corporate officers. Remember, corporate officers are really the people who make a corporation work. They make it work because of the fact that they are the people who execute what the vision is of the corporation. The vision, of course, of the corporation is what the articles of incorporation say it is. It is what the board of directors say it is. And they take that vision and make it a reality. They're the implementers. They're the ones who execute on the directives and the statements and the resolutions of the board of directors. Who are the corporate officers? You have the chief executive officer who runs the corporation. You have the president, who today is pretty much ceremonial, but will do whatever the chief executive officer asks him to do on behalf of the corporation. Still a very heavy role, but not what it used to be, because before there were chief executive officers, the presidents were the ones that ran the company. You have vice presidents, usually multiple vice presidents. They tend to run a portion of the company. If you are broken up into divisions, they head a division, or they head a area such as finance, or such as specific type of practice that the corporation will do. Excuse me. Then you have the chief financial officer. That is the person who is responsible for the financial health, well-being, and management of the company. They will keep all the books, hire the accountants, make sure that the finances of the corporation are in order, maintain the bank accounts, oversee investments, things of that nature. Then you have a treasurer. Just like the president and the chief executive officer, today the treasurer and the chief financial officer have that kind of relationship. Today the treasurer basically does what he can to assist the chief financial officer. It used to be where the treasurer had that chief financial role. Today it's the chief financial officer, the CFO. Remember, the CEO and the CFO have to sign reports under Sarbanes-Oxley. So any financial records and the annual reports, they have to be signed off by them, and there carries heavy liability if there's something wrong there. Then, of course, you have the secretary, who is one of the most instrumental people in the entire corporation. Because they not only deal with the shareholders by sending them all notifications and arranging for the annual shareholder meeting, but they also work very closely with the board, particularly the chairman of the board, setting the agenda and arranging for the board meetings. The secretary is the communications center and the document filing center for the corporation. So any papers that come into the corporation, any documents that need to be maintained by the secretary. Very important role. We also talked last time about employees and agents. Employees are hired by the officers, where the officers are hired by the board of directors. They delegate, the board of directors delegates the ability of officers to hire employees, and they do that. You do have employees who are managers, who will manage other employees. The officers will delegate that role to them. Pardon me. All officers are also employees, but they're special kind of employees. And non-officer employees exist within the corporation, hired by the officers to do the work that the corporation needs to be have done. They're what really makes the corporation run. Agents are tasked with doing individual missions for the corporation. If they want to explore something, they want to investigate something, they might hire an agent to do that. It's a temporary task-based mission. All employees are agents of the company too. And remember, all employees and all officers are, and all directors are agents, but not all agents are officers, directors, or employees. And lastly, we talked about corporate governance. Corporate governance is what we've been talking about for weeks now. It's how the corporation is run. And corporate governance is the manner and the method and the means by which corporations operate. Remember, you have that tiered structure. It is a Republican representative form of government. You don't have the shareholders who are the owners of the corporation run the corporation. They elect people to do that. They have representatives who take on the mission of running the corporation. Shareholders elect them. They are the ultimate sovereigns in the corporation because they have the ability to elect the, and they get represented by the board of directors. Board of directors is the policy-making entity of the corporation. They pass resolutions by holding meetings, and that's how they direct policy. They hire the officers. They oversee the work of the officers. Remember our Caremark case. One of the challenges was you weren't overseeing the officers. You weren't overseeing the employees well enough. Well, one of the roles of the directors is to oversee the officers, to select them, appoint them, and make sure they're doing their job. Also, you have the officers who turn around and run the company. They're the administrators of the company. And they're the ones who hire the employees who basically do the work. There you have it. That's corporate governance in a nutshell. Okay. Tonight, we're going to talk about corporate liability. Now, we've talked a lot about this already because we talked about it in terms of when a director's liable, when an officer's liable, when an employee's liable. But we're going to talk about when that limited liability can go away. It's basically for fraud, but we're going to talk about that. That's called piercing the corporate veil. We're going to talk about liable parties. When liability attaches, what parties pay it and what's their scope. And lastly, we're going to wrap up with insider trading. That's when you breach your fiduciary duty by trying to benefit yourself with inside information. Let's jump in. Water's warm. Definition. Piercing the corporate veil. Piercing the corporate veil is the judicial act of imposing personal liability on otherwise immune corporate directors, officers, and shareholders for corporation's wrongful act. Remember, there's an element of knowledge here that has to go along with this. This is for fraud, which requires scienter. This is not something that is ever done lightly. When a court pierces the corporate veil, they take away the corporate limited liability. And that is the very essential nature of a corporation. So they don't do that lightly. What is the meaning of removing the limited liability? It is to assure that the corporation's creditors are not defrauded, that this corporation is not a sham. Limited liability is intended to be able to protect the corporation from honest mistakes, from market factors, but not from fraud. Fraud is an intentional misrepresentation of a material fact, and fraud will cause the piercing of the corporate veil. Insiders can use their control to create a false appearance of corporate solvency, engage in self-dealing, provide for insider benefits, and it prevents abuse. You do not want corporations to be used as a subterfuge. And that's why we have piercing the corporate veil, to prevent fraud. Fraud is never a good thing. It's always a bad thing. And that's what piercing the corporate veil is targeted at. It wants to say, you can use your corporation for any purpose. You can lose money in the corporation. We're not going to turn around and impose liability on the shareholders or the directors or the officers for business mistakes. That's the business judgment rule. But we will if you misuse it for fraud. If you have a material misrepresentation, then we will do that. That is purposeful. There's a scienter requirement, meaning you knowingly try to hurt somebody. And as a result of that, we will take that limited liability away from you in very extreme cases. Holding a corporation accountable by removing its limited liability, as we say, is an extreme remedy. Courts don't want to do that. Ordinarily, a corporation is regarded and treated as a separate legal entity. When you remove the limited liability, you're removing that corporate personhood. You're making the people who run that corporation liable, and hence, by piercing that corporate veil, that's exactly what you're doing. You're removing the corporate personhood. The fact that there's a close working relationship between two corporations doesn't mean that there's fraud there. The fact that they are losing money doesn't mean that there's fraud there. What is required to pierce the corporate veil? Court may disregard the corporate entity or figuratively pierce the corporate veil when exceptional circumstances warrant. The decision to disregard the corporate entity is made on a case-by-case basis. This is not statutory. This is a case law-based remedy. It's an equitable remedy, really, that provides for the fact that you can do away with the corporate personage, do away with limited liability when there's been such severe knowing misconduct. What are the things that the factors that may lead to the piercing of the corporate veil? The failure to maintain adequate corporate records and commingling corporate funds with personal funds. You're using the corporation as a sham. It's not really a corporation. That's fraud. Grossly inadequate capitalization. That too is fraud. You're not really operating as a corporation. The diversion of shareholders of corporate funds or assets. You can't do that. It's actually not operating as a corporation because you don't have the corporate governance structure. If the shareholders are using the benefits of the corporation, they're not entitled to do that under the corporate governance structure. It's not really a corporation. The formation of a corporation to evade existing creditors. Again, all these items are fraud. It's not acting as a corporation. The formation of a corporation to perpetrate fraud, a determination that injustice and inequitable consequences would result if the corporate entity was recognized because of fraud. Fraud beats the corporation every time because it's not really a corporation. That's why. If it's fraud, it is set up to injure people. Fraud hurts people, and it hurts people intentionally. It is not by accident, it's on purpose. And as a result of that, the courts will say, this isn't a corporation. We're not limiting liability of a corporation. This isn't a corporation to start with. You're making this up. And as a result of that, they will pierce the corporate veil, and the shareholders or the directors or whoever gets sued, the officers, will have to pay for their misconduct. Other exceptions to limited liability, there are certain within the business corporation law, the state of New York, there are certain things. There is incomplete or improper corporate formation. If you don't have a corporation because you never properly formed it, there is no corporation. Now, that's not necessarily fraud, but if you don't create a corporation, how can you claim you're a corporation? Okay? I can claim that I'm a rock star, but if anybody ever heard me sing, they wouldn't think I was. So this is the same type of thing. They are not a corporation. So they can pierce the corporate veil when you haven't formed a corporation. Second thing, wage claims. Under the Article 6 of the Business Corporation Law, the top 10 shareholders of a corporation are legally responsible for certain wage claims. So if you hire a bunch of people and don't have the money to hire them, yes, the top 10 shareholders will have to pay them, and they can have a judgment against them. It's in the law, you know, when you start the corporation. Also, unpaid subscriptions. This, again, questions whether or not you're a shareholder, whether or not you're a corporation. If you go out in the start, you're supposed to sell and pay the subscriptions for the purchases of stock before the corporation comes online. You're supposed to do that at the organizational meeting. You're supposed to pay up everything and provide the money to the corporation. If you don't do that, the shareholders will be held to be liable for it. Why? Because they had to pay for it in the start. Okay. That's about piercing the corporate veil. Very simple. You got fraud. Limited liability won't attach. Why? Because you've intentionally deceived. That's what fraud is. And the courts will say, you're not a corporation. You're using it as a sham. You're not entitled to commit fraud by means of trying to start a corporation. We'll see you next time.